brought to you by Penguin.
Pies and Prejudice, written and read by Stuart McConey. A few years ago, I was standing in my kitchen rustling up a Sunday brunch for some very hungover, very northern mates who were down for the weekend. One of them was helping me out, finding essential ingredients like paracetamol and orange juice, and asked me, "Where are the sun-dried tomatoes?" "They're next to the cappuccino maker," I replied. A ghastly, pregnant silence fell. Slowly, we turned to meet each other's gaze. We didn't say anything. We didn't need to. Each read the other's unspoken thought. We had changed. We had become the kind of people who rustled up brunch on Sundays, who passed round sections of the Sunday papers and popped down to little bakeries, the kind of people who had sun-dried tomatoes and cappuccino makers. Southerners, I suppose. I don't like thinking this way, like a Pict in an animal pelt, face blue with woad. I'd rather be cosmopolitan, suave, displaying an easy confidence with pesto and fish knives in the Hammersmith and City Line. I have tried to change, really I have. I say lunch, I say book with an not an ooh, although I do draw the line at supper and bath. But then again, I do have a cappuccino maker and sun-dried tomatoes. Actually, moving with the times, of course, it's now some sun-blush tomatoes. So much juicier, don't you think? Lovely, tossed with a little balsamic and feta. But on some level, I feel it should be a plate of tripe and a pound of lard, the sort of food you want after a hard day digging coal from a 3-foot seam or riveting steel plates. Proper jobs, in fact, as opposed to tapping effeminately at a keyboard for hours on end or talking to yourself in a radio studio. This book, then, is an attempt to rediscover both the North itself and my own inner northerner. Does the North still exist? Are the hand-wringing cultural theorists right when they talk of a Britain of identikit prefab towns, each with a body shop, Costa Coffee and Waterstones? Or is the North more likely to rejoice in a flagship Cash Converters than a flagship Harvey Nicks, whatever the fashionistas of Leeds might think? The North. What is it? Where is it? Where does it begin and end? What does it mean to be northern? And why, in a country that you could drop and easily lose in one of the American Great Lakes, does that 2.5-hour journey from London to Manchester or Leeds still feel like crossing time zones, political borders, and linguistic and cultural frontiers? The BBC has no South of England correspondent. I say this without malice or anger. I wouldn't want you to think that I'm eaten up with corrosive rage over it, or that I'm making my way to Broadcasting House with a flaming brand even as we speak. It's just a fact of nature, like glaciers or osmosis. The BBC has no South of England correspondent because there isn't a South in the same way that there's a North. If there were a cohesive thing called the South of England, you'd expect to hear some swelling music in the back of your mind, Vera Lynn singing the White Cliffs of Dover, perhaps, or one of the Wurzels' agricultural ditties, and to feel some unifying emotion. But none is forthcoming. This is because there's no conception of the South comparable to the North. Good or bad, the North means something to all English people wherever they hail from. To people from London, cheery costermonger, cravatted fop, or Shoreditch-based web designer on stupid scooter alike, it means desolation, Arctic temperatures, mushy peas, a cultural wasteland with limited shopping opportunities populated by aggressive trolls. To northerners, it means home, truth, beauty, valour, romance, warm and characterful people, real beer and decent chip shops. We like to think we're different. But what makes us different? What shapes us? Well, we like to think that some of the forces are elemental. The North-South divide was illustrated by a trog cartoon in The Observer, published during Thatcher's mid-80s pomp. Two smartly dressed yuppies are drinking champagne under a cloudless southern sky, while at the other side of the frame, a dour middle-aged couple, rain-sodden beneath glowering clouds, are complaining, "They've got their Prime Minister, why can't we have ours?" Crucially here, the difference between them is not just political or economic, it's climatic. There's not much point me regaling you with statistics like Leeds being drier than Barcelona, or Cornwall being wetter than Manchester, or Sheffield summers being generally warmer than...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?